Hello, and welcome to Good News Gathering. If you enjoy this lesson, we invite you to check out Good News Gathering at one of our Sunday services. Visit www.goodnewsgathering.org for service times and directions to our ministry center. Now let's join teaching pastor Jeff Lyle as he presents today's lesson.
Morning, everybody. It's great to see you all out this morning. What's a tweet anyway? It's just great to see everybody, and thank you for spending your new year with us. And I just want to wish you all a very happy new year. And to be honest, I'm one of those people that this is where I'd like to be on New Year's Day, and the people that I would like to be around. And if you're here this morning, and maybe you're not a Christian, and you're just kind of checking things out, I want you to know that regardless of where you might be on your spiritual journey, we're glad that you're here, and it's our prayer that maybe something you hear here or something you see here will have an added value to your life. If you're a first-time guest, you received a packet of information when you came in the auditorium, and in that packet is a white sheet with holes punched on the side. That's an outline that'll help you follow along with this morning's lesson, and we'll get to that in just a few moments. And I know you received a whole lot of stuff in that packet. Don't worry about that. We'll kind of walk through some of it as we go through this morning's lesson. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, New Year's is always a kind of exciting time, I think. And the reason it's exciting to me is it's because it's a time when people seem to be energized and energized by the possibilities. There's something about New Year and new beginnings and starting something new. We make resolutions and we look forward to changes that we hope to make in the coming year. And maybe for you, it's a physical change. You've made a decision you want to eat healthier or lose weight or exercise or something like that. Maybe it's what I guess I would call loosely a mental change. You've kind of made a decision, you know what, I'm going to turn the TV off, or I'm going to get off the social media some, and instead what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a good book, or I'm going to pursue a hobby or something, or just get outdoors, whatever. For some of you, maybe it's a change of a financial nature. Maybe you've decided this year you're going to really work on getting out of debt, or you're going to think hard about how you spend money. You're going to focus on the difference between a want and a need. Or maybe for you it's a change of a spiritual nature, and you've decided that this year you're going to read your Bible more, you're going to attend services more regularly, or you're going to get involved in a life group or a serving opportunity, something like that. But those are exciting changes. And perhaps one of those is something that you have been thinking about as we turn the page on the calendar to 2017. And here at Good News Gathering, we're really excited about the possibilities that are before us in 2017. And we're excited in part because we believe that God is the creator of the universe, and he's powerful beyond imagination. And he is for us, which is a really important concept that even a lot of Christians struggle with at times. They wonder if God's really in their corner, if he's really got their best interest at heart. And the truth that comes through in Scripture is that God is for us, and he can empower us to make whatever changes that we need to make, that he's calling us to make. With him, the possibilities in 2017 are limitless, okay? We're also excited because of what we have seen God do in the past. I mean, just think for a moment about 2016, those of you that have been a part of this process here at Good News Gathering. When you think about 2016, it was a banner year for us. Our overall attendance grew from about 600 even to somewhere 640 in the high 640s, which was tremendous. Our growth in our children's ministries required us to create a brand new ministry just for fourth and fifth graders called Fuse. We've been conducting interviews for the student ministries director position. In fact, this past week, we flew in somebody from Florida and another candidate from California just to interview for the position here at Good News. Phase one of our facility expansion, which will house our 180, our 6th through 8th grade class, is coming right along. You can see it out here in our parking lot. And to be honest with you, friends, we're expecting the walls to start going up here in the next couple of weeks probably. We anticipate, and this is really cool, we anticipate being able to pay for that without borrowing any money, all right? Pretty cool. God's been really good to us. You know, our bridge events, and these are events that are designed to help us build bridges to people who normally wouldn't be caught dead in church. Events like our Easter services, our Roots services, and Christmas Eve, all those services last year produced record-breaking attendances. Really cool. Our service outreaches like the free sales, the rice and bean packing event, child sponsorships in Haiti, and the toilet paper Christmas tree, just to name a few. And there's a bunch of other stuff that goes on, but just to name those. I mean, we shared Christ's love last year with hundreds of people who normally don't ever come here to church. And how cool is that? To share Christ's love with people with no strings attached. It's not like, well, if you come to one of our services, then we'll give you food. Or if you come to one of our services, then we'll give you clothes. No, we don't play that game, okay? We share the love of Christ with people in hopes that they will see Him in us and want what we have. Well, some of you have asked if you can still participate in the Christmas Eve offering, and regulars know that everything that's brought in on Christmas Eve is given to people in need. It goes out into the community or people within our church family who have a need of some sort. And if you'd like to participate in that, you still can. All you need to do is just put on your memo line of your check Christmas Eve, and the financial folks will take care of that. But 2016 really ended with a bang just yesterday because our first Haiti team flew out yesterday morning from the Columbus Airport. And on the green insert in your packet of information, this little half sheet, we actually have the names of all the folks that are going to Haiti this year, both of our teams, listed there. And you can pray for them this week. If you didn't get one of these prayer reminder wristbands, you can pick one up while supplies last from our greeters after the service. But that'll kind of remind you to be in prayer for these folks over the next 2 weeks that will be in Haiti. I mean, when you think about all that stuff, and that's not everything that's gone on around here, God's been at work in a huge way in this family, and I'm excited to see what He's going to do in 2017. I think it's going to be something to behold. Those of you that have been a part of the Good News Gathering family for some time know that each year we choose a theme word. And we've done this for about 8 or 9 years now, and to be honest with you, I don't even remember how we got started doing it. It was one of those things you just kind of stumbled on. But every year we pick a word, and it's a word that we believe captures a sense of who we are and where we are as a church family. Now, all of our lesson series throughout the year wrap around that theme word, because it describes the essence of where we are at this moment in G&G's history. Previous theme words have been words like heart and impact. The year we moved from Southern State to this facility, our theme word that year was move. Risk was another word we chose at one point. And then last year, our theme word was the word courage. Because we believe that as time goes on in American culture, it will require more and more courage for people to stand up for their faith. Now, friends, our theme word for 2017 is the word think. Think. No pun intended. Think about that for a moment, okay? And here's how I want you to think about this word. This is a word that my father said to me on more than one occasion when I was growing up, okay? And the context would invariably be that I had done something or said something that just flat didn't make sense. And I imagine that probably every one of us can think back on a time where we did something or we said something, and we even found ourselves thinking, what was I thinking? I can remember some things I've done that I look back and go, how could you be so stupid? And I can remember my father sitting me down and looking me in the eye, and my dad was one of those people that never raised his voice, at least not to me. I don't ever recall ever hearing him raise his voice, but he had this way of commanding your 100% attention. And I can remember him sitting me down and saying, think, son. You got to think about what you're doing. You got to think about what you say and how that impacts people. I remember one occasion when I was in high school, and he said, son, and he was the only one that ever called me Sonny. I have no idea if that was just like an extra syllable added on the word son, but he's like, Sonny, you got to think this decision through here. And he didn't tell me, and that was the thing about his parenting style. He didn't say, do this or do that. He pushed me to think about the pros and cons of the decision that I was considering and to weigh out the impact of this decision or that decision. And it was like he was teaching me a life lesson about how to think things through. Now, you may be wondering this morning, okay, Jeff, well, that's kind of nice that your dad did that. Sounds like maybe, you know, good parenting tool, but what does that have to do with Good News Gathering and where this church is now? Let me explain. Friends, I believe that we live in a culture that is dominated not by thought, but by feeling. Feelings. Think about that. It occurs to me, and you guys can roll this around in your head, maybe you agree, maybe you don't, but this is the impression I'm getting of the society in which we live. It seems to me that our primary concern is no longer whether something is right or wrong, but how does it make me feel? You know, I remember a slogan that became popular back in the 70s when I was going to high school and college. And that slogan became so popular in that era that I think it's become part of the DNA of American culture. In fact, it's so much a part of our culture that people don't even think about it anymore. And it goes like this, and you'll fill in the rest of it. If it feels good, do it. If it feels good. It's not about thinking about what that is or trying to figure out is that right or is that wrong. Does it feel good? Because if it feels good, then it's okay. You know, I wish I had a dime for every song over the past 40 years that it has had the lyric in it. It can't be wrong when it feels so right. So we've all heard it. And it's just become part of the way our culture looks at life in general. It's about how does this feel to me? The problem is our emotions and our feelings are often wrong, and they lead us into behaviors that can cause unending grief. You know, I've represented tons of people in my 33 years as a lawyer who acted on emotion, what felt right at the moment. And you know what felt right on Saturday night ended up resulting in a sexually transmitted disease or 18 years of child support. And now all of a sudden it didn't feel so good. But you know what? Because you didn't think at the moment, now you're going to feel pain for a long, long time. Instead of thinking through a situation, I have clients whose anger kicks in, and then all of a sudden they're sitting in my office across my desk because they got charged with menacing or telephone harassment or worse yet, assault. But you know what? At the moment, it felt good. It felt good telling her what I really thought about her on my cell phone. It felt good hitting that guy. Or like one client I had, it felt good bouncing my sister's head off that fender. Wow. Now you're looking at 180 days. You know, like my father used to say, you got to think, son. You know, there's another reason why we've chosen this word as our theme word. Last year, we focused a ton of attention, and if you were here, especially in the second half of last year, you know that we spent amazing amounts of time talking about how we raise the next generation of Christ followers at Good News Gathering. And we asked the question, how can we as a church family effectively pass the baton of faith on to the next generation of Christ followers? And I'm here to tell you, friends, the research that I did for those lessons in the fall was absolutely chilling to me. Because the fact is, the church, and I'm not talking just about G&G, I'm talking about Christianity and Christian churches in general in America, were losing the next generation at an alarming rate. Recent studies indicate that we're losing them earlier and earlier in life. Studies have long shown that a large percentage of young people who were raised in church leave it when they go off to college. In fact, it's become so common that a lot of times Christian people say, well, that's just the way it is. You know, you can't hardly fight it. I mean, when they go off to college, you know, they got a bunch of professors there that don't believe in God, and now they're all going to be, you know, like nominal Christians at best. Probably rarely attend church anymore, and studies indicate that that's what happens to most kids who are born and raised in church. But you know what's fascinating to me? In fact, there are a couple of books out now. One is called Already Gone, and another one is called Ready to Return. But these books are based on even more recent surveys that indicate that kids are exiting the church at younger and younger ages. In fact, in the book Already Gone, one of the surveys that they talk about in that book indicates that 89% of kids who know, and these are kids that are born and raised in church, who no longer attend church when they go off to college, 89% of them had already left in junior high or high school. Now, some of the research that's come out in the last 5 years, and you can read about this in the book Ready to Return, indicates that a major reason they're leaving is because they don't think that this is true. It's not true. It's not true. Lots of nice stories. Perhaps even some really good moral principles thrown in, but true? No. Not true. You're not supposed to actually believe it. I mean, it's like myths. It's like fables, you know? It's like kind of like fairy tales at best. And here's where it really gets scary. Do you know why the research indicates that kids are coming to this conclusion that this isn't true? Because that's what they're being taught by the adults in their church. The stories in the Bible aren't true. They're just there to illustrate a moral principle and help us be good. Because the Bible is just one holy book among many. I mean, every religion has one. And they all present a different pathway to God or a supreme being or the world spirit or whatever you want to call it. And Jesus, all right, good guy, great teacher, obviously had a great moral agenda, you know, but he wasn't God. He wasn't God in the flesh, and even history indicates he got himself killed, but not for the sins of the world, okay? Because the fact of the matter is, in most Christian churches today, people are being taught that you can get to heaven without him. Okay? Just be good. Just be good. Because all good people go to heaven with or without him. Only people that go to hell are people like Hitler. All right? And somewhere in the back of my head, I can hear my father's voice saying, you gotta think, son. You got to think. Surveys of adults who regularly attend church indicate that when asked, is the Bible the inspired word of God? The majority say yes. And when you look at that survey, you think, yes, it is the inspired word of God. But when they're asked specific questions about the Bible, they don't believe it's true or historically accurate. They believe it contains errors and it's really just a collection of writings by wise guys. Okay? Smart men. People who probably led really good lives. And you look at this and you have to ask yourself, is it any wonder the next generation has a hard time finding Christianity either compelling or inspiring? Friends, we've got to think. We got to think about what we believe and why we believe it. Now, for the purposes of this lesson series and throughout this year, we're going to be using the following definition as kind of a working definition of our theme word, think, okay? And it's on your outline, that white sheet with the holes punched on the side, and there's a box at the top of your outline that I want you to take a look at, and we're going to define the word think as follows, okay? Think. To employ one's mind rationally, and objectively in evaluating an idea, belief, circumstance, or situation. Now, when you think of the word rationally, okay, I've kind of defined that. Because if the words rational and objective are not words that you're real familiar with, here's kind of what they mean. To employ one's mind rationally means to exercise reason, okay, or sound judgment. Another way to put it would be good sense. And then, you know, that's a phrase we don't use much anymore when we refer to people as having common sense. But it's that ability to think rationally, to reason through things. But it's also consistent with reality, okay? Consistent with reality. Now, I've represented a lot of people in my career that were extremely brilliant people, but they weren't connected with reality. I remember years ago being called to the jail and walking in, and here's this guy sitting there who's younger than me, who claimed that he was having conversations on a daily basis with George Patton. Now, he's a brilliant guy. Extremely, extremely smart. But he wasn't connected with reality. Objective is to view an idea, belief, circumstances, or situation based on facts rather than emotion, preconceived notions, biases, or prejudices. In other words, to view something objectively is to be able to separate yourself from it emotionally so that you can look at it for what it is. That's one of the reasons why they teach you in law school right off the bat. Don't ever take a case where you are emotionally tied to your client. Because the moment you do that, you lose objectivity. Because you're emotionally attached to them, you don't see the facts like you should. You come in with a bias for your client. And you know, one of the things that I learned to do over the years was be able to tell my clients the truth and say, you know what, this is not looking good here. Now, today's lesson is entitled, You Are What You Think. You Are What You Think. And our focus verse comes out of Proverbs 23, verse 7. It's up here on your screens. Let's all recite it together, okay? Here we go. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. All right, now we're going to do that again because y'all were up late, okay, last night, bringing in the new year, and that was like a week, all right? So here we go, one more time. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, as you look at that, some of you are probably thinking, Jeff, minds think, hearts feel. How does a person think in his or her heart? I mean, it doesn't seem to make sense to us in our culture, okay? But remember that this verse was written a long time ago by an Israelite or a Jewish person, all right? And the word he used for heart and mind is really the same. So whenever you encounter the word heart or mind in the Bible, probably the best way to think of it is the center of my being. As he thinks in the center of his being, who you really are at the soul level, how you think, that's who you are. So is he. Or perhaps another way to put it would be like this, okay? And we'll call this Proverbs 23:7, the Lyle Revised Substandard Version, okay? Here it is. As a person thinks in the center of his or her being, so do they become. How you think determines what you become. So friends, let's look at this subject. You are what you think. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to look into your word. And Father, it's our hope and prayer that this year you would help us to think. To think critically. To think about what we believe and why we believe it. To think about what your word says and why we either should or should not believe that. To think about what our culture is telling us and to ask the question, is that true? Is that good? Is that right? And not just accept things at face value. Father, this is going to be a tough year. And it's going to be hard because there are going to be days when we just don't want to think that hard. And yet you have truth that you want to reveal to us. And so, Father, it's our hope and prayer that we'll all come in here on Sunday mornings, just like today, and we'll fasten our seat belts, we'll put our minds in gear, and we'll go where you lead us. For this is our prayer in Christ's name, amen. Now, friends, what I want to talk to you about this morning is three truths about our thoughts or about how we think. And you know, it's interesting to me, if you ever get a concordance of the Bible, and it's one of those things that kind of tells you where you can find different passages, different scriptures, and you look up that word think, you'll figure out that in the book of Matthew, like four times, I think it is, Jesus asked the same question of different people. One time it's of one of his apostles, sometimes a group of people on another occasion, but he asks them a very simple question, and it's, what do you think? It's like he's driving people to think through what the issue is that's confronting them at that moment. In this particular situation in Matthew 17, he and Peter had been confronted by some religious leader about a point of religious law. And Jesus doesn't immediately answer it. He kind of looks over at Peter and says, "What do you think?" And I just think in that moment, Peter's probably going, okay, I didn't know thinking was part of my job description in this outfit. That's your job, right, Jesus? And Jesus is like, what do you think? In other instances, he's asking crowds, what do you think about this? And on an incident we'll look at later in this month, he asks a bunch of Pharisees, people who were like sworn enemies of his, and he asks them, well, what do you think? And you know, friends, I think as we go through this series, we're going to figure out that thinking is really important to Christianity and to Christians. In fact, the Bible says it this way in Romans 8. It says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. And friends, that very first point there, that very first truth about our thoughts is our thoughts determine our character. What you think about determines who you are and how you approach life. It determines your character. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, as I look at how I live my life, do I tend to be dominated by the sinful nature and think about sinful things? Or do I tend to be controlled by the Holy Spirit and think about things that please God? Which is it? What am I doing in my thought life? Jesus kind of goes on in Matthew 12 to expand on this, and he says, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, the fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. And he's using the tree as an illustration. He says, if the tree's good, it's going to produce good fruit. What does this mean? Well, if our thoughts determine our character determines our actions. Just like a tree. If it's a good tree, it's going to produce good fruit. If it's a bad tree, it's going to produce bad fruit. If our character is good, our actions will be good. If our character is bad, our actions will be bad. Thoughts determine character, and character determines actions. And that's why the Bible makes it so clear that what we think about is extremely important. It says this, it says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. This is the Apostle Paul talking to a church in a town called Philippi, and he says, fix your thoughts. Circle those three words, if you would. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now, friends, think about what he's saying. He's saying, fix your thoughts on these kinds of things. Don't let your mind go to other stuff. Okay? Now think about this, guys. When you're watching TV, or when you're on your computer, is the stuff you're watching, or the stuff you're reading, true? Is it honorable? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent and worthy of praise? When you're on your computer, do you find yourself looking over your shoulder to see where the rest of the family is? What are you fixing your thoughts on? Because your thoughts are going to determine your character. And your character will play itself out in your actions at some point. And friends, we have to ask ourselves, what are we filling our heads with? What is it we're watching? What are we looking at? And is it true, honorable, right, pure, lovely and admirable? And if it's not, what are we going to do about it? Because the bottom line and the truth, that third truth about our thoughts is this. As Christian people, friends, you and I must align our thoughts with God's will. We got to align our thoughts with God's will. That's really what he's talking about when he says, fix your thoughts on true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable things. Do not spend time on stuff that's not true, that's not honorable, that's not right, that's not pure, that's not lovely, and not admirable. Don't do that. Because what goes in here will come out in your actions. So how do we do this? How do we align our thoughts with God's will? How does that work? The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to a church in a town called Corinth, said, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. He said, so look, okay, all of us Christians live in the world. And there's all this bad stuff out there, and it influences us. Okay? And it's not like we get a pass out of here. It's not like we can't always avoid all of that. Sometimes it comes in on us. But he says, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments. Isn't that interesting? He says those false ideas that come in, those arguments that we hear that try to convince us that God's way is not the right way, or that there's a better way or an easier way than God's way. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We can't take captive every thought. In other words, what he's saying here is, you know what? As a Christian, we have a responsibility for what we allow our mind to dwell on. Okay? In other words, and that bullet point says it this way, this might sound kind of funny to you, but it's true. I must think about what I think about. Think about what you think about. Where does your mind go? And does it go to places that are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable? And if not, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to change in 2017 so that you fix your thoughts on those things? Now, friends, let's talk for just a moment about how we align our thoughts with God's will, okay? First of all, learn His will through His Word, okay? God's Word is the very best way to know His will. I've seen surveys done on churches all across America. And one of the things that those surveys show is that if you want to grow as a Christian, getting into God's Word is indispensable. It just simply is. Learn His will through His Word. And that's why, friends, there on your outline it says daily Bible reading plan. We are going to be doing a daily Bible reading plan here at Good News. If you've been here over the last 3 weeks, you've probably seen this green half sheet. It's there in your packet of information. I'd like you to take it out, if you would, please, right now, okay? And flip to the side that says, Think Bible. What we're going to be doing this year is we're going to be doing a church-wide daily Bible reading program, okay? And it tells you right there on that green sheet how you can access that online. There's an app so you can access it through your phone or whatever your mobile device might be. You can also access it through the GNG website. But this is a really, really cool Bible reading plan, okay? And I want to kind of tell you just a little bit about it, okay? Because the way this thing works is each day you have certain amount of scriptures that you need to read. I did this last week, okay, and it took me somewhere, and I'm not really a fast reader, but it took me somewhere between 12 and 15 minutes to read the passage for each day, okay? Now, here's the deal. Not only do you get the daily Bible reading, the scriptures you're supposed to read, the chapters, and you start in Genesis, and then you're also reading some in Psalms to begin with. But the cool thing about this is there are these movies, these videos, that will kind of help give you an overview of what you're going to be covering during that particular section of Scripture. And they're really well done, and they're really interesting, and they're really helpful, okay? Now, I understand that some of you are probably kind of like me. You're a dinosaur. You don't really do the internet thing very well. Or you're like me and you don't do it at all. Somebody does it for you. okay, you can actually get a paper, a hard copy of the daily Bible reading plan. All you got to do is stop at the Welcome Center. Now, it starts today, obviously. This is January 1, right? But you can pick one up out there. If we run out, we'll just make more copies. But please, pick one up. Get involved in this. The only thing about the hard copy version is I would really encourage you to figure out a way to get to see those videos that will help you understand what's coming up in the reading. The other thing that we're going to be doing, and it'll start this week, is we, the staff, JD and I, and perhaps when we get student ministry director on board, we might involve him in that as well. But we will be doing a weekly podcast, okay? Somebody came up to me after the service and said, I'm just shocked that you know what a podcast is. I don't really. They just wrote it on my outline, okay? So, but I'm going to be doing that, whatever that is, this week, okay? But it'll last probably 15, maybe max 20 minutes. But we'll be looking at a part of what your reading was for that week. We'll do the recordings on Wednesday, and we'll have them up on our website on Thursday so you can get into them. But we're going to be doing that, and just to give you kind of a flavor of what this Bible reading plan is centered around, I'm going to show you a quick video.
I think the best gift anyone ever gave me was when I was about 15. This pastor taught me how to read the Bible for myself. He didn't just say, here's what it says, do this, but he says, no, read it yourself.
I became a Christian when I was 20 years old because I found Jesus so compelling and so amazing. And so I'm a new Christian. I read the Bible from cover to cover, and I am lost. I mean, just totally bewildered.
And it bothers me because I go, man, nowadays I don't hear about people getting alone with God or alone with the Bible. All I hear is about, oh, this speaker or this religious leader. And I'm going, man, don't you ever just get alone. I mean, this is where the impossible happens. I think, man, what would the church look like if everyone in there that showed up on a Sunday morning actually spent the whole week, every day, alone with God, having these experiences, and then they come together, like that would change everything.
Now, the other thing that I want to talk about with you for just a few moments is the lesson series brochure. If you'd take that out, please, okay? Now, this lesson series brochure has a ton of information on it, dates of like the class series and the baptism celebrations and all that kind of stuff. But on the inside of this, it kind of gives you an idea of the lessons that we're going to be going through this year, okay? And so, for example, this first series is entitled Think. And what we're really going to do during this month is we're going to drive at thinking biblically, thinking logically, and thinking honestly. And we're going to look at some stories in Jesus taken from Jesus' ministry where he dealt with people who, first of all, did not think biblically. And what I mean by that is they did not really understand or think about the scripture that they had available to them at that time. Second thing is there's a story where Jesus is dealing with people who are not thinking logically. The way they're thinking is not making sense, and he's trying to drive them to think in a logical fashion. There's another story where he's trying to get them to think honestly. It's like the truth is right in front of them, but they just don't want to see it. They're not being honest, and he drives at them. We're also in February going to do a series entitled Thinking About the Bible, and friends, this series is focused on the results that we got from our survey that we did right here among the GNG family. Because we had so many questions from people who said, was it really God's word? I mean, really? Is this really fact or is this fiction? Somebody asked, you know what? This was really put together by people with a political agenda, right? I mean, let's face it, it was written by 40 different authors over a period of about 1,400 or 1,500 years, and it ended up, all these books ended up together because a certain emperor wanted them, and he excluded other books that he didn't like, right? We're going to look at that stuff. 11 different folks on our survey indicated they weren't sure that the Bible was relevant to today. And we're going to look at that. We're also going to look about thinking in the March series, thinking about the beginning. And here's what I want you to understand that. Surveys indicate that most young people leave the church whether it's in high school or in junior high or in college, they leave the church, and one of the most common responses that they give for why they left is they aren't sure they can believe the first 11 chapters of this book, Genesis. They don't really believe that God created all this. In fact, many kids that grow up in church leave the church because they've accepted the theory of evolution as the answer for the origin of man. And we're going to look at that. Now, when we get into the Easter season, we're going to look at how Genesis 3, which describes the fall of human beings or the first sin, how that impacts the New Testament and the cross and forgiveness and eternal life. Now, the April series, Rethink How You Think, will help us understand how we can transform our minds and our thought processes. Now, the June series, Thoughts on the Prophets, many people ask questions about how the Bible fits together and where these prophets fit in and all that, and what they have to say that could possibly be relevant to us today, and we're going to look at that in June. Now, the July series is God on Film. We've done that for several years now, I think four, and people seem to really enjoy that, so we decided to do that again this year based on the movies that will be coming out in April, May, June of this year. And then August is entitled, What Do You Think? And what we're going to do during that first 6 months as we're going through much of the Bible in our daily Bible reading plan, I'm going to ask all of you to give us your toughest question that you have based on what you've read. And we're going to put those tough questions together into a lesson series, and it's just going to be a Q&A, okay? I think that's going to be real exciting, and I'm hoping everybody gets their questions in by June, so I have the entire month of July to prepare, right? I'm going to skip to the October series, which is called Think Radically. It's based upon a book, and it's going to be a church-wide life group study based on a book called Radical by a guy named David Platt. And it's in essence, asks the question, how do we live as real followers of Jesus Christ? And what does that look like? The November series, Thinking in a World Gone Mad, we're going to look at the fact that our culture no longer accepts the idea of truth. In a lesson entitled, It's All Relative. We're going to look at tolerance and what that means in our word today, in our world today, and entitlement. And then we'll get to our Christmas series, and we'll be looking at why Jesus came then. Of all the times in history that he could have come, especially in a time like today where there's mass communication, why did he come then? Why did he come there? What was that all about? Now, friends, it's going to be a big year. It's going to be a year that challenges us all to think. And so the second thing that we got to do to align our thoughts with God's will is we got to discipline ourselves. Discipline. Engage in that daily Bible reading plan. That'll take discipline. Pray. Attend regularly. And if you have to miss, please get the CDs or go online and listen to the lessons, because it's going to be important that you hang in there with us. And then I'll encourage all of you to get involved in a life group. It indicates there how you can do that. Because life group, friends, when you're studying the Bible with another, with a group, a small group of Christian friends, it's just such a huge environment for spiritual growth. Now, James indicates, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. The third aspect of aligning our thoughts with God's will is to act on what I learn. Act on what you learn. Don't just hear God's word. Don't just listen to God's word. Don't just go to church. Put it into practice. And we're going to talk about that a lot this year and how we do that. Now, friends, it's going to be an exciting year. I'm pumped about teaching this year. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's my hope and prayer that you'll come along for the ride, and we'll learn a whole lot together, and we'll grow more like Christ in the process. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us and for this opportunity that we've had to look at your word and to think about what we think about, to think about what we fill our heads with. And Father, we understand that our thoughts determine our character, and our character determines our actions. And so, Father, it's our hope and prayer that this year we will learn to align our thoughts with your will. For this is our prayer in Christ's name, and we all agreed together and said, Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this lesson from Good News Gathering. For more information, visit www.goodnewsgathering.org or check us out on Facebook.